Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 14. Revelation 21, 9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials," or more literally, bowls, "full of the seven last plagues, and talked," or spoke, "with me, saying, Come hither, I will show to thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in spirit." That's a literal translation. There is no word, definite article, the, in the text, and we'll take that in a moment. "He carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed to me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light," literally radiance, because it's not the normal word for light, "her radiance was like unto a stone most precious or valuable, as like a jasper stone being clear as crystal, and had having a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and at the gates," or upon the gates, "12 angels, and names had been written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east," or from the east, east, "three gates, from the north, three gates, from the south, three gates, and from the west, three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." We are entering into a section that is fascinating for study. If you're able to, hate to use the word visualize, but if you can imagine in your mind what heaven will be like and what the New Jerusalem will be like. Remember, New Jerusalem is the capital of heaven. New Jerusalem, the city Jerusalem, is not heaven itself. Heaven is not limited to the new city Jerusalem. But remember, we've studied the second coming of Christ. We've studied the great white throne, or actually the thousand-year reign of Christ. Satan let loose for a while, and then the great white throne judgment at the end of chapter 20. And as we opened up chapter 21, toward the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there will be a city come down from out of heaven. We saw last week in verses 1 and 2 the premiere of heaven and earth, that there was a new heaven and a new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. We know from 2 Peter 3, it'll be burned, dissolved with intense heat. Then we saw the plan in verses 3 and 4, that there's going to be a great city come out of heaven, that there will be a community where God will be God to his people, and his people will be people of God to him. We saw the comfort in verse 4, where he will wipe away, or wipe out from every eye the tears. We saw the conditions, that death no longer will exist, nor pain, nor crying will exist anymore, because the first things have passed away. And then verse 5, the character of the one sitting on the throne as he gives his pronouncements. This one sitting upon the throne we know is Christ. He says, "Behold," there's change. He says, "Behold, I make all things new." Secondly, he tells John the command, write, because these words are true and faithful. The certainty of the word of God. He says, write it down, because you can take it to the bank. Maybe not in our day, but to the bank anyway. Verse 6, the permanency, as he expressed the completion, as Jesus on the throne says, it is finished, done. Everything's been made new. Then his preeminence, we saw that he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We know that's Christ from chapter 1. Also in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, God himself pronounces himself to be the beginning and the end. So we've got a lot of connections to show the deity of Christ. His provision, as he expresses his compassion at the end of verse 6, to the one who is thirsting, I will give from out of the fountain of the water of life freely. Verse 7, the promise, verses 7 and 8, the conquering one, to the one who is overcoming. And I attempt to emphasize every time we take this phrase is that the Bible teaches that every person who is a genuine born-again believer in Christ, that person is an overcomer. There is no language in the Bible that challenges people that says, if you overcome the evil one, then you'll be saved. Some people get that just from reading the English. This is a present participle, the overcoming one. That's always the characteristics of the believer. One of the main texts, 1 John chapter 4, where John talked about the false spirits, the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world. He says, but you have overcome them. Same word. You have already overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. They can't overcome Christ. And if we have Christ living inside, we cannot be conquered, but rather we will be the conquering ones, because he will be faithful to take us through. The one overcoming, first of all, the plan, he shall inherit all things. His position, he will be a son to me, and I will be his God. Verse 8, the punishment, in contrast, the characteristics of those who will be lost and will be punished, be those who are the cowards, those without faith, those who are abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, drug users, those who commit idolatry, and everyone and all liars will have their part, the condemnation in the lake of fire that is burning with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. But in verse 9, for today, the particulars of the new city. In verse 2, John saw the new city, Holy Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. That's when it comes to the new earth. But in verse 9, as we now focus on the details, the particulars of this new Jerusalem, it seems to be suspended in the air. There are many scholars that believe that it's going to be suspended in the air permanently, that there will be travel from the new city to the new earth and back and forth. But it's interesting that we're going to study the details of the city. And like I say, if you can imagine in word pictures what this city looks like, it's fantastic. We'll spend this week and next week on the details or particulars of the city. First of all, the conducting of John by an angel. It says in verse 9 that one of the seven angels who had the seven last bowls full of the seven last plagues came to me. Well, we know back in chapter 16, verse 1, we had seven angels who had seven bowls that contained the last seven judgments that would be poured out upon the earth. So one of these angels now comes to John and wants to take him on tour, conduct a tourism for John as he looks at the new city. This is the first time now, as far as time goes, this is the first time in 1,000 years that we now see an angel. We saw an angel at the first part of the millennium, chapter 20, verse 1. 1,000 years later, an angel comes to John and says, let me describe what you're seeing. Let me take you. So this angel comes to him, notice the communication, and he said, he spoke with me saying, the command, come here, come. I will show to you the bride of the Lamb, the wife of the Lamb. The city is called the Bride of Christ. The city is called the Bride of Christ, this New Jerusalem. We saw back in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, that God's people, the people that belong to Christ, the church itself is called the Bride of Christ. All throughout the New Testament, even throughout prophecies in the Old, God's people are called the Bride of Christ. We're waiting for him to come for his church, and his church is the bride. And it is interesting, this new city, Jerusalem, is the bride of Christ, which means it's made up of us. Not buildings, but people. It's a fascinating concept. It's not made up of buildings, it's made up of people. Verse 10, and he carried me away in spirit. Some Greek translations use capital for the word spirit. Others don't. It's the same use here as John used in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, where he said, on the Lord's day, I was caught up in spirit. That is, he saw a vision. He was caught up into the spirit realm. If somebody wanted to argue, well, isn't that the Holy Spirit? Obviously, it takes God's Spirit to do that. But the Greek text is indicating, without the definite article, that he was caught up into the spirit realm. So he's on the island of Patmos geographically, but he is caught up into a vision. And he was carried away to a great and high mountain. Obviously not the island of Patmos, because it's very desolate on the island of Patmos. And he showed to me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven from God. As I said, this city is made up of people. It is a teaching that is found in the New Testament. And I want you to understand this today, even if this is all that we take, because it's fascinating to see. And just to whet your appetite for next week, as we study the walls. The walls are some 1,400 miles high. The city is in a cube. It's not square. It's not four square. It's four cubed, four sides to it. And each side is 1,500 miles. It's 1,500 cubed. There will be no more laws of gravity. We will be able to travel both horizontal and vertical. A city block will no longer be horizontal as we know it. It'll be cubed. Lots of room. And we'll get into that study next week. You have to come back next week or whetting your appetite. But this new city, Jerusalem, the body, it's the bride of Christ. It's the church, both Jew and Gentile, who believe. Paul began this teaching back in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. As he, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul revealed that God has broken down the middle wall of partition, and he has brought Jew and Gentile together as one in Christ. So there's no more Jew or Gentiles. Believers are the church. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, he says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone of this city. And everything lines up with him. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, their ministry. We were born by God through their ministry, the prophets from the old and the apostles from the new. Verse 21, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What he's saying is that as God brings the Jew and Gentile together and they become the church, what God is doing is he's adding material to his dwelling place. Like we are individual dwelling places of God, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, yet God is working in my life to shape my life to fit in with all the other believers in the new city, Jerusalem. We will be connected. We will be the city. Whatever situations and circumstances that I have to go through, whatever trials and tribulations, it'll be to prepare me to fit into this city. So if you ever ask the question, why is God doing this to me? Well, it has nothing to do most of the time with here on earth. It's to get us ready for our part and our place in this holy city, New Jerusalem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, 2 Corinthians 6, 16 to 18, when Paul was ministering and saying that a believer and a non-believer cannot mix, there is no fellowship there. He also says, 2 Corinthians 6, 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You're the temple of the living God. Then Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. 1 Peter 2, 5 through 8. Peter says that we are living stones. We are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders have rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. We're living stones. God is shaping us, our stone, if you will, by the various situations and circumstances in life. We're being built up into a spiritual house where the glory of God will permeate and radiate through us. Notice where we left off in our text. The holy city, the great city, holy Jerusalem, descending down out of heaven from God. And as we saw last week from Galatians chapter 4, this city already exists today. There is the heavenly city that exists today. This heavenly city one day will come down from out of heaven from God. There are five characteristics of this city, but I want to show you two of them this morning. Verse 11. This city, when it comes down, having the glory of God. The word glory, as I've explained before, doxa in the Greek, it's equivalent to the Hebrew word kavod, which is the word for substance. Substance. When God's Spirit, in fact, the Shekinah glory, shekan means to dwell. The Shekinah glory was the very presence of the very substance of God dwelling in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. The Shekinah glory, the dwelling glory, the glory that's dwelling with man. All through the Bible, the word glory is representation. When it's applied to God, it represents his presence and his substance, his very nature, himself. And so, first of all, having the glory of God. You start in that starting point, look what it says next. Secondly, and the radiance of it, that is of the city, is likened unto a very precious or valuable stone, as a jasper stone being clear as crystal. You'll see these characteristics all the way through, but let me point something out to you that will help in our understanding. When you start studying all these jewels, we'll study them next week. There's 12 different jewels in this city. With these terminologies, they also include the word like or as. It's because they are not literal jewels as we know them to be. They are the colors of the jewels. Because our primary focus right now in this city, just with that last phrase being clear as crystal, the jasper stone, as we know it today, they're probably making mention to the diamond. This city, when he saw it come down, is like one huge diamond. You're talking hundreds and thousands of miles in a cube shape, one diamond. And it comes down out of heaven with God's glory, his substance, in the midst of this city. And his substance, his energy, radiates out through the city. And it's crystal. It's like a prism, if you've ever seen light shine through crystal or light shine through cut glass. And you see the various colors of the rainbow shine through that glass. We're going to be clear as crystal. And his glory is going to radiate through us. And what will be seen is this glorious, can't think of any other word, radiating out through this city. It's massive. And it's glorious. If we can catch that three things from this morning. Number one, you and I are going through what we go through to become our part within the city and fit into the new city, Jerusalem. We are being built up as a spiritual house. Now, after this earthly life, I might not see you because I might be in the condo on the other side of the new city, Jerusalem. And yours might be on the other side. I have no idea. You know. I take it the Lord's not going to put us with people throughout eternity that we're not going to get along with. But not you. Yes. But we're all going to fit together as living stones. And God in his presence is going to radiate out through us throughout this magnificent city. This city has walls. It has gates. It has foundations. And we're going to get into the study of that next week, how huge and how large these the walls and foundations are. Hundreds of miles. Like I say, the wall itself measures 1,400 miles high. It's a massive, massive city. The walls are 72 yards thick. And it's crystal-like. And it has the glory of God radiating out through it. We are the temple. He will tell us that I saw no temple in this city because we are the temple. And just as Christ dwells in each of us individually now, he will dwell in our midst as one in this new city, Jerusalem. And it will be a wonderful thing. No death, no sin, no pain, no more weeping, no more crying. I like to see it as basking in the glory of God throughout eternity. That is to be our hope, our living hope. One day we're going to be in that city. Well, I will be in that city. And it's something the believer looks forward to, even as Paul says that the trials and the hardships that we go through here does not even compare to the glory that we will share with him throughout eternity. So that whenever we go through difficult times, make the comparison. What's a few years of hardship and difficulty here, even under the guidance and provision of God's Spirit, going through difficulties? What does that compare to eternity? There's no comparison. We go through what we go through here to prepare us for eternity. That's what it's all about. And we get the blessing of experiencing a little bit of heaven here as we fellowship together and God's Spirit blesses us. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the glimpse that you give to us. We can only imagine what the new city Jerusalem will be like, and that's just the capital of heaven. Heaven is even bigger. We thank you for allowing John to see this, to pass on to us as our comfort and as our hope, knowing that one day, yes, we will retire from this earthly life. But the retirement that you give cannot be compared with any retirement plan here on the earth. We pray that you would prepare us, convict us of our priorities, that we might continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, continue to be changed and transformed, not only for your glory here on the earth, but for our part in heaven later. We pray that you'd give us hope in these things and encouragement and refreshing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.